Thank you. everybody. Welcome to Tabernacle Baptist Church. Good to see everyone here. If you would please stand with me. Turn to page number 56. Sing it out good and loud when we all get to heaven. 56. Sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sigh. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toils of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Onward to the prize before us, soon His beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Wonderful singing. Good to have everybody here tonight. We've even got some nice, loud, young singers in here. I like that. That's good. Glad everybody came out tonight. Brother Thomas, would you please pray for us this evening?
Father, we thank you, Lord, for the evening. Thank you for the opportunity to gather in our house tonight. Lord, we do pray tonight that you meet with us. Lord, I pray you bless the service, bless everything that's done. Lord, may Christ be magnified and lifted up. I pray you with the preaching time, may you bless it. Be with the many that are sick, many that are by the way of Facebook and other avenues of being able to watch the service tonight. Pray you go out to the airwaves and touch their hearts tonight. Thank you for what you do in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You can be seated. Just want to give you a couple announcements tonight. Just remember to keep everybody in prayer who's sick. A lot of people out. But we're not going to be discouraged. Glad those are here, and being faithful. I was just thinking about that verse we just sang. Let us then be true and faithful. Man, I think that's what the Lord wants from us tonight. So just a couple announcements. January 6th. Is that right for the business meeting, or did we change it? That is right. January 6th is our business meeting. Make sure you're here for that. Just to be informed of what's going on here in our church. We did postpone our youth scavenger hunt. So just please keep that in mind. We will not be meeting this Saturday just due to those who are out sick. We just want to be extra cautious there. So we will not be having that this weekend. January 10th, you do not want to miss this, Vision Night. This is our vision night for the new year. We're very excited about this. Pastor's going to give us our new vision for the year 2021. And I think it's going to be just very appropriate and very exciting. I'm looking forward to it personally. And we'll also do our end of the year video that night as well. So you will not want to miss that. There's always some embarrassing moments, and it's fantastic. So we're looking forward to that. And then February 1st through the 5th is our Winter Jubilee. Very excited about that. You can see on the back table there's a paper. There's forms around the church. You can see who's speaking and who's singing. We got just 5 nights of some phenomenal preachers. And we're going to close out the week with a youth night with Brother Kurt Copeland. And I'm particularly excited about that. So keep these things in mind. You don't want to miss them. And again, keep those who are sick in your prayers. Pastor wishes he could be here. Just being a little extra cautious. They are feeling very good right now. So, but just keep them in your prayers and the many other families that are out. All right, page 397. Go ahead and grab your hymn one more time. And little is much when God is in it. If you would stand with me, 397, and sing it out tonight with me. In the harvest field now ripened, there's a work for all to do. Hark, the voice of God is calling to the harvest, calling you. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. Does the place you're called to labor seem so small and little known? It is great if God is in it, and He'll not forget His own. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. You take a moment to greet one another tonight. Service, body worn from toil and care, you can still be in the battle, in the sacred place of prayer. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. When the conflict here is ended and our race on earth is run, He will say to all the faithful, welcome home, my child, well done. Little is much when
when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name.
Great singing. You can be seated, Brother Doug, with the missions letter, please.
Our missionary letter tonight is the northbound Northcutts serving in Newfoundland. They say this year, probably more than any other, has made us thankful for the stability and hope that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. As we reflect on this Christmas season and the unspeakable gift of our Savior, we also want to thank each of you who have faithfully upheld us in prayer and financially. This year has been wrought with many uncertainties in many areas. And from our family, we want to simply say thank you for your sacrifice in giving and supporting us and the ministry here in Newfoundland. As we entered the Christmas season this year, we were encouraged with the fact that although there would have to be some limitations due to COVID-19, we would still be able to present a Christmas program at our churches. Although we were not able to have a choir number for the music, we were able to do dramatic readings and present the songs through a multimedia presentation. On Sunday, December 13th, we presented the program at New Hope Baptist Church in Stephenville, and the following Saturday and Sunday, December 19th through the 20th, at Grace Baptist in Cornerbrook. Because of the COVID scare in Stephenville, the day before the program, we only had 3 people attend the service, but we were encouraged with the fact that the gospel was presented clearly to those who did attend. In Cornerbrook, we had 2 visitors in addition to all of the regular church members. While it was a huge blessing to have the church people at Grace Baptist do speaking parts in the program as opposed to us missionaries doing them, the biggest blessing came after the program at New Hope in Stephenville. The Tuesday after we had presented the Christmas program at New Hope, we watched the cantata from our sending church for family devotions that night. In both our Christmas programs here and in the one from our sending church, 2 different programs there, the story revolved around someone who had grown up in church, who knew the facts about salvation, but had never personally trusted Christ as his Savior. That night, after the kids had gone to bed, Elliot called out and said that he couldn't sleep because it felt like someone was squeezing his heart. Praying for wisdom, I asked him about his salvation, and after talking to me a little bit, he admitted that the Holy Spirit was convicting him because he wasn't saved. That night, through many tears and much brokenness, Elliot trusted Christ as his personal Savior. What a thrill it was to see God work in his heart and answer prayer. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Ministry updates. Our building search for New Hope in Stephensville has hit some snags recently. The building that we were looking at on Main Street turned out to have some major structural problems which would prevent us from using it as a meeting place. While it may seem like a bit of a setback, we are praising the Lord for this now instead of later. Thankfully, the curling club where we are meeting at has been very gracious to us, and we can continue to meet there while we continue the search. We are praying about 2 other possible options, both with pros and cons, so please pray with us that we will continue to seek for God's will and that a meeting place for New Hope Baptist Church will be found. Grace Baptist Church in Cornerbrook has continued to grow in spite of the pandemic and restrictions. As we mentioned in the last letter, the families who started attending in the summer have remained faithful, and it has been encouraging to us to see the body of Christ grow. We consistently have 20 to 25 people in each service on Sunday. Because of the diverse backgrounds of many of the believers who are attending, the Lord has led me and Brother O'Brien to begin a series of messages, teaching and preaching on what constitute a local New Testament church, with the goal of officially chartering and organizing as a church sometime after the new year. Everyone is excited about how God has been and is continually working through this church. Please pray for wisdom and God's guidance as we continue to teach and lead others toward establishing this church in Corner Brook. And that is your missionaries, Northbound Northcutts, serving in Newfoundland.
Appreciate that, Doug, tonight. Appreciate the missionaries that our church is able to support. Thank the Lord for that and all the Lord is doing through the avenue of missions, and how that many missionaries, even though we've got a lot going on with the COVID and different things, are finding new avenues of serving the Lord and new avenues of completing the mission God has given them. We appreciate that and thank the Lord for that tonight. Tonight, if you've got your prayer bulletins tonight, we'll look at that real quick this evening, right before we pray and make some prayer requests known tonight. It was found out today that Brother Billy Brown and his sick, and would ask you to pray for him tonight and his family. As far as I know, the family hasn't got it yet. And so he's trying to quarantine, stay away from them. So no doubt that's a little bit difficult there on his memory. So just pray for Brother Billy that he'll recover quick from that, and also probably be able to get back to work through that as well. And then also Jeff Mills today contacted us and let us know that they were at home. But he apparently has either broke or bruised a rib. Somehow a concrete machine got away from him, and he got hit there on the rib. And so just pray for him tonight. I know that could be a painful thing. I dislocated a rib one time. I fell plumb down one time and popped a rib out. I tell you, that hurts. So just pray for him tonight as he's there at home, I'm sure, trying to recover from that. And then, of course, pray also tonight for the many that are sick, out with different things going on, and trying to be cautious with the temperature of everything. And so just pray for that tonight. Is there any other request tonight that needs to be made known, make mention of tonight? Yes, ma'am. Pray for Miss Bonnie's family. Said that the granddaughter was shot and now is paralyzed. And so just pray for that family. Sure, that's a difficult situation there for them. So just pray for that. Yes, sir.
Patience Joaquin mm-hmm. is on the prayer list. And
yes, sir.
I did see where her daughter had posted something that she was at least recognizing people.
Okay.
Coming out of a coma.
All right. That was a praise. Patience, what was the last name?
Joaquin.
Patience Joaquin said that she was doing better, said that she was starting to recognize folks, as she's come out, I guess, a medical-induced coma. So she's coming out of that coma and improving there, and we thank the Lord for that tonight, and that's good news to hear. Anybody else tonight? Any other requests? I would ask you to pray for one of our missionaries, Brother Larry Key. He is doing well. He has had some physical problems going on, but the doctor said that he's headed in the right direction towards remission with some things there. And so just continue to pray for him. He's got about three stages of that remission to go through, and so he's approaching the first stage with that going on there. So that's good news. And then also pray for his wife's family, his wife's mother and father. They are elderly. Miss Marlee Key, and I think her father was being rushed to the hospital this evening. And so pray that. I think they both may have COVID, or think they do. And so pray for that family as well tonight. Anybody else tonight? Did you have one? No. All right. If y'all want to, anybody that will, come around the altar and we'll pray a few minutes tonight. And I'll be back here in a minute to pray for us this evening. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the evening. We do thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to gather here, Lord, in this place tonight. Father, thank you for Tabernacle Baptist Church. Lord, thank you for those that have gathered here tonight to pray, to worship, Lord, to hear the preaching of the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, tonight for those that are watching, Lord, tonight by the way of Facebook and other avenues. Father, we thank you for that tonight. Lord, tonight we just bring these requests before you this evening, Father. Many names on this list tonight. But Lord, I think about the needs that are there, Father, and many things going on in different lives, Father. Lord, many physical needs tonight, Father. I pray especially tonight for those that are sick. I pray, God, that you would just touch there, Lord. I pray, God, that you would offer healing. Lord, offer comfort there. We pray especially tonight for Brother Billy. We pray you touch him, Lord, help him to recover. I pray, God, his family, Lord, wouldn't get sick, Lord, from this, Lord. But I pray that you would be with him tonight. We pray tonight for this lady, Miss Bonnie, and her family, Lord, the granddaughter there that was shot. We pray, God, that you would just work in that situation and intervene on their behalf, Father. I know there's probably a lot more than just the physical side of things, and there needs to be some other healing there, Father, and we just ask that you would be involved in that situation tonight, Father. Then we pray for Brother Jeff. Lord, we ask that you'd help him, Lord. I know that's probably a painful injury, but Lord, tonight we pray that you touch his body and heal him, relieve the pain there, Father. I pray tonight for our pastor and his family. Lord, I pray you continue to help them, Lord. It's good to hear a good report for them. Lord, I think he's going to try to be back Sunday, Father. We pray that you'd make that possible. Lord, we pray that you'd continue to bless our church. Lord, I pray tonight for the missionaries. Lord, the Northcutts were made known tonight, but many others, Lord, tonight throughout the world that just need the Lord to touch and the Lord to bless. God, I pray that you'd be with each one. May you meet financial needs. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd open doors for them to serve you, Father, during these days. Lord, we pray for our nation tonight. We pray you'd help it. Lord, I ask that you'd work there. Lord, thank you tonight for what you're going to do. Bless the remainder of our time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, it is good to be here tonight, and I do thank the Lord for the opportunity. I think I was talking to Brother Doug. Wow, that got loud fast tonight, and it's been a little while since I've been here to preach, but we thank the Lord for the opportunity. Thank the pastor for allowing us to do so tonight. Tonight, if you will, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Judges tonight. Judges chapter number 15 tonight, and we're going to be looking at the thought the Lord laid on our heart, and I just ask the Lord to help us tonight. But again, I'm glad you're here and in your place, and I'm glad there's many, no doubt, watching by the way of Facebook and other avenues. We thank the Lord for that technology being available to us to be able to do that. We live in a day and age where we're greatly blessed to be able to get the gospel out, get the messages around the world. We thank the Lord for that tonight. Tonight, again, we're going to be in the book of Judges. Judges chapter number 15 tonight. Judges chapter number 15. And I want to begin reading in verse number 14. The Bible says, "And when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him." And the he that is being referred to here is the man by the name of Samson. And the Bible says, "And when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that were burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an ass, and he put forth his hand and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. And Samson said, With the jawbone of an ass, heap upon heaps, and with the jawbone of an ass have I slain 1,000 men. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking, that he cast away the jawbone out of his right hand, or out of his hand, excuse me. And he called the name of the place Ramoth Lehi. And he was sore athirst and called on the Lord and said, Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst. And fall into the hand of the uncircumcised. But God clave a hollow place that was in the jaw. And there came water thereat, and when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. Wherefore he called the name of the place El-Hankor. I probably messed that up, but forgive me. Which is in Lehi unto this day. And he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the evening again. Thank you for the opportunity to be in thy house tonight. Father, I do pray, Lord, tonight that you'd empty me of myself. Lord, I pray you'd fill me with your Spirit. Lord, forgive anything that would hinder you using me tonight, Father. I pray that you would help me to do that which you've called me to do, Father, tonight. I pray, Lord, I pray tonight for my audience. May they listen with open ears and open hearts and be receptive to the Word of God. May you bless our time together tonight. Lord, may Christians be challenged and encouraged. May sinners be convicted and brought to a place of repentance tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me say tonight that we're looking at a very interesting story in the life of the man by the name of Samson. Samson is the 13th judge over the nation of Israel. And God would use Samson to deliver Israel from the Philistines for 20 years. You see, tonight, the book of Judges is a book where every man did that which was right in his own eyes. There was no king in the nation of Israel, and so what would happen from time to time, God would raise up these leaders known as judges in order to deliver Israel from the oppression of their enemies. Samson was the 13th of these judges, and as I said, he would judge or reign over Israel 20 years. I say tonight that Samson was a flawed man who would struggle throughout his life to learn to rely on the power of God instead of his own strength. I don't know about you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, but I believe we all can say we struggle with that in some form or some facet. Many times in our own lives, me especially as men, I want to try to figure out how to fix it. I want to try to figure out how to correct it. I want to figure out how to do it. And sometimes it may be through brute force. It may be through trying to think it through. But in reality, a lot of times we can solve a lot of our problems by simply relying on the Lord. And Samson throughout his life many times got himself in trouble because he relied not on God, but on his own strength. I say tonight that Samson, as we know, is a man remembered most of all for his strength, for his physical power. In my mind and in my imagination, I picture Samson as the Incredible Hulk, you know, Hulk smash. That's the way I see Samson. I see Samson, if not Hulk, then maybe somebody like Chuck Norris. He was a bad dude, if you will, tonight. But Samson is remembered for his great strength and physical power. Samson is also a man remembered for his death. And the Bible would tell us that Samson would ask God to give him strength one more time so that he would be able to basically kill more Philistines. And he killed more Philistines in his death than he did in his life. And Samson was also a man tonight that was remembered in the Hall of Faith. And so I believe there's a lot that can be learned from Samson and the life of this man. In chapter 15, we are kind of coming into the end of a story in Samson's life. In chapter 14, Samson would marry a woman of Timnath, a daughter of the Philistine. Now, I don't know why he did it, but Samson would go and basically marry his enemy. He would marry his enemy, and this eventually would cause trouble in the life of Samson. In chapter 15, Samson has went away, and he's returned back to Timnath, and he finds out that his father-in-law had basically given Samson's wife to another man. Now, I don't know about you, I would be a little upset with that. And Samson was very upset about this. And Samson hatches a great plan. And instead of taking it out, I guess, on his father-in-law and on that woman there, he decides he's going to take it out on the enemies of God. And Samson does a great feat. He goes out and he captures 300 foxes. He ties their tails together. I'm sure he was thankful that PETA wasn't around then. And he takes and puts a fire on their tails and lets them go through the crops and destroys the Philistines' crops. The Philistines are upset, and basically they come down and they burn Samson's father-in-law and they burn his wife. And so Samson then gets mad and he attacks the Philistines. And then the Philistines come back and say, "We want Samson." And so kind of a back and forth goes on throughout chapter 15. Finally, 3,000 men of Israel. Now you would think these men would be on Samson's side. You would think that they would say, "Come on, Samson, let's go down there and whoop these Philistines that are come up against you." But no, they're not, for whatever reason. They decide that they're going to basically give Samson to his enemies. And Samson makes a deal with them. He says, "Look, if you don't kill me, I'll surrender and I'll go with you." And so Samson does this thing. And tonight we picked up reading in verse number 14. In verse number 14, we see that he comes to this place called Lehi. And we have a very interesting battle, if you will, that unfolds here. The Bible says in verse 14 that the Philistines shouted against him. Now this was a shout of victory. They finally had captured their man. They finally had defeated this hulk of a man by the name of Samson. And I don't know about you, but if I was in their shoes, I would be lining up the firing squad immediately. But for whatever reason, they decided to celebrate the fact that they had captured Samson. The Bible says later on in verse 14 that the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. This was not a time that Samson would rely on his strength. But we see here that Samson would rely on the Holy Spirit of God to gain a victory. To gain a victory. We need to be reminded oftentimes that we are bound, if you will, by sin. We are bound by our flesh. But through the Holy Spirit of God, we can be loosed from our sins and our struggles. And we can rely on the Spirit of God to achieve victory in our lives. I don't know about you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, but I like it when the Holy Spirit achieves victory in my life. In verse number 15, if you will, tonight, we find that Samson here finds something to fight with. He says, and he found a new jawbone of an ass. Now, let me say tonight quickly that this was an unconventional weapon. Samson would wield a jawbone against probably over 1,000 men. We know at least 1,000. But probably over 1,000 men, Samson would wield this jawbone. I think about tonight that this was not a sword, you know. If I was in Samson's shoes and I broke those bands, I would be looking to the nearest man to try to get his sword so that I could go to whooping on the Philistines. But he didn't do that. He didn't look around and try to find a spear. He didn't try to use a lightsaber or an AR-15. No, for whatever reason, he picks up a jawbone. A jawbone. I say tonight that it is amazing what God will choose to fight his battles with. It is amazing what God brings into our lives to allow us to gain victory. I see tonight in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 27 and 28, the Bible says this, "But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things which are." Basically, what those verses are saying is God chooses weak and odd things to perform his will. I think about this tonight, ladies and gentlemen. If we get down to it, every one of us tonight are weak. We're frail, we're odd, but yet God chooses us, chooses men, chooses women from every walks of life to fulfill his will in this life. I see tonight that 1,000 heavenly armed men are brought to their deaths by one man full of the Spirit of God and this jawbone. This jawbone. Tonight, what I'd like to do for the time that I have remaining, I'd simply like us tonight to consider the jawbone. Consider the jawbone. Notice number one tonight as we consider this jawbone, this weapon that God would use to achieve victory. Let us look tonight in verse 15 and we notice that it was found. It was a found jawbone. Verse 15 it says, and he found a new jawbone. This jawbone would become a great find to Samson. It would become great value to him. The value was in the hand or the eye of the user. I think Samson was happy to have this jawbone tonight. Sometimes things that are valuable to us do not seem to be of any worth to anyone else. I don't know about you, but I have some things in my life that are valuable to me. I think about the other day, my wife's grandfather, he handed me a knife that he made. Now, that knife is not going to be on Antiques Roadshow. That knife is not going to go on eBay. It has no value to most people, but to me, It is valuable. To me, it is important. You say, why is that? Because he gave it to me. I say tonight that we need to realize that we need to find value in what God has given us. The abilities he's given us, the things that he's provided for us so that we might serve him tonight. Consider this, the jawbone is like our salvation. It's like our salvation in Christ tonight. You say, what do you mean? Well, many today are looking for something to help them gain victory in their lives. They are bound by sin. They are bound by addiction. They are oppressed by people around them. People are seeking ways to be free. The problem is they're not finding the right things. They're relying on that addiction to get them the next high. They're relying on maybe a program to help them out instead of learning to rely upon the Lord, instead of coming to the saving knowledge of Christ. Let me say tonight that I'm thankful that Christ is seeking and looking for us. He has presented the gospel to the world. However, there are many who have not yet realized their need for salvation in the Lord Jesus. They have not found value in the gospel to change their lives. You know, you think about lost men and women tonight. They don't understand the value that is in the salvation offered by the Lord. They don't understand the great thing that God has offered us tonight. I think about the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. When the world hears a man preaching about the death, the burial, the resurrection of the cross, or the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, men and women look at that man and say, he's crazy. He's out of his mind. What is he talking about? They find no value in that. Why is that? It's because they're perishing tonight. They're dead in their trespasses and sin. They don't see the value that salvation brings into their life. 1 Corinthians 1:21 says, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by the wisdom knew not God. It pleased God, notice this, by the foolishness of preaching, to save them which believe. Again tonight, the Lord refers to preaching as foolishness, and is foolishness to the world. The world don't understand why church is essential tonight. The world don't understand why sinners need to hear a gospel presentation. The world don't understand why we need men to stand up and preach the Word of God and to preach the death, the burial, the resurrection of God. They do not see the value. They have not found the value in the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. I don't know what was going through these Philistines' mind when they saw Samson pick up this jawbone. But I'm sure that one or two of those soldiers said, oh man, he's done lost his chicken nuggets. This guy's done gone crazy. What does he think he's going to do with that? And I don't know what they were thinking when they saw this. They were thinking, man, we got you outnumbered 1,000 to 1. We're going to take care of you. We're going to mop the floor with you. And you've got a jawbone? Really? A little bit later on, I think they would change their attitude. But I think about this. Men today mock the gospel. You believe that God sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. You believe that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. They mock at that. And they have not yet found the great salvation that is in Christ. I see not only is the jawbone like the salvation that is offered in Christ, but the jawbone is like our relationship with the Lord. You see, once we're saved, we begin to develop a relationship with God. And I think about tonight, many a man, many a man, many a woman, maybe they've come to that saving knowledge of Christ, and maybe they've put their faith in the Lord, but they've not found that daily walk with Him. They've not found the value in that daily commitment of serving the Lord. I say tonight, lost people and people that are cold on the Lord, they don't understand the value of a daily walk, a daily relationship with the Lord Jesus. Of course, we know in Romans 12, 1 and 2 that we present our bodies a living sacrifice. The day that we find out if we're willing to surrender ourselves to the Lord and we're willing to give ourselves daily to the Lord to live for Him, that is a happy day in our lives. I think about later on in 1 John 4:13, hereby know we that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He hath given us His Spirit. The day we find out we're indwelled by the Holy Spirit of God is a happy day. The day that that Holy Spirit begins to convict us after salvation and we realize that, man, I can't say those things anymore. I can't go in that place anymore. I can't hang out with those people. The day we find that is a happy day. Think about in Ephesians and different things like that. We find that we can be have that whole armor of God and have that relationship with the Lord. I see tonight that once again the Philistines looked at that jawbone and they may have even laughed because they did not realize the value in what Samson had found and what he had found. Secondly, not only was it a found jawbone, if you will, but it was an applied jawbone. It was an applied jawbone. Notice the Bible says in verse 15, it said he put forth his hand and took it. And took it. I say tonight, like Samson took the jawbone, salvation in Christ must be received. I cannot receive salvation for you. My pastor cannot receive salvation for you. I cannot receive salvation for my children. They must reach forth and receive salvation that God is offering. I say tonight there will be many on Judgment Day who will have been at the point of receiving God's salvation, receiving what God has provided, but because they didn't reach out and receive it, they'll fall short. They'll fall short. John 1 and verse 12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That word receive means to take as a thing offered, to accept or embrace. Embrace. I think tonight many have not embraced or accepted or fully reached forth and taken hold of salvation in their lives. There are many who wish to take up baptism. There are many who wish to take up good works. There are many who wish to take up memberships, but they are not willing to receive Christ. I think about today, just today, I was doing a trying to witness to a man, and the moment that I pulled out that track and began to talk to him about the Lord, prior to that, we were having a good conversation. But after I began to speak to him about the Lord, man, I got to go. He got busy. He had somewhere to go. Why? He wanted to receive everything I had. Except the Lord Jesus. He didn't want that part. I think about the homeless man today that I talked to just a few moments before church. He received that bag and I began to talk to him about his salvation and he said he was saved. And so thankfully he knew what it was to receive or to trust the Lord. There will be many, I believe, like old King Agrippa over in the book of Acts, who say, thou almost persuadest me to be a Christian. I think many sit on the church pews on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and they're almost persuaded to receive the salvation that has been given. But for whatever reason, they don't want to apply the jawbone of salvation. They don't want to apply what God has given them tonight. I say, secondly, like Samson took the jawbone, the believer tonight must use the jawbone. Those of us that have received Christ and are born again tonight, we need to realize that we need to use the jawbone to defeat our enemies. The Bible says Samson slew 1,000 men with this jawbone. Salvation is the first step. We need to grow in the Lord and obey God's commands. There is this matter of sanctification, living a set-apart life for the Lord, living a life according to the Word of God and the things of God, not living Pharisaical, not living legalistical, but living according to what the Bible says. I think so many times tonight, people, believers, are defeated because they're not using the equipment that God gave them to fight their battles. In Psalms 119 and verse 11, everybody pretty much knows this verse. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You see, tonight we struggle in our lives and we struggle with sin because we don't hide God's word in our hearts. We don't have the things of God in our heart and in our mind and daily take them into us. And because of that, we're not going to fight a winning battle. We've not taken up the jawbone of the word of God. Ephesians 6:11 tells us to put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Many times we put on part of the armor. We say, well, I'll take faith, but I'm going to leave out having my feet shod. I'll take the helmet, but I don't want the sword. And we're not a fully equipped, functioning soldier for the Lord. James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Think about how that many times we are deceiving ourselves because we say, oh, I enjoyed that message, Pastor. That was a great message, Pastor. But we never have any intent on using what we've been told. We never have any intent. Hey, Doug, I enjoyed the Burroughs Bible Experience this Sunday, and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed being here, and thank you for studying and teaching. But I ain't ever going to apply it, but I wouldn't tell him that, you know. That we're not taking what we've learned and what we've heard and applying it to our lives. And we wonder, well, why am I defeated in my prayer life? Why am I defeated in my Bible study? Why am I defeated in my walk, in a daily walk with the Lord? Why am I defeated in my witnessing? Why am I defeated here? It's because we've not applied the principles found in the Word of God. Think about a man that me and my wife, we were watching a show one time, and the show was about a guy, and it was in England somewhere, that there was a family that had a farm that was struggling, and they were trying to get the business going, and this so-called business expert went down there to try to help them out on the farm and get a business going, and they had like a bed and breakfast or something, and they weren't open on Sunday. And he did everything he could to kind of convince them to open it up on Sunday. But this is what the Irish farmer said. He said, we're born again Christians. We're not going to do that. That man chose to honor God. He chose to do what God had told him to do in the Word of God. And the guy told him, he said, well, I can't help you. Your business will not be successful. And the guy did some other things to help him, and he left, and he come back 6 months later. And when he come back 6 months later, the business was being successful. It was running right crazy, and they were overbooking and didn't have room for everybody, and they still weren't opening on Sunday. You say, what happened? That farmer said, I'm going to fight the battle that God's given me. I'm going to use the tools. I'm going to honor the Lord's day. I'm going to do what I can in that instance to give God at least one day. Have a testimony that I'm a Christian. I say tonight, as we can you imagine, if you will, tonight, the sound of that jawbone as it began to strike the armor of the soldier. First, it must have seemed as useless, but in a few minutes, as the bodies begin to fall around Samson, I think these men begin to take note. I say tonight, like an old Batman show, when we see things coming into our lives, if we'll take up the armor of God, we'll take up the Word of God, we'll take up a prayer life, and we begin to fight those things off in our lives, we'll hear bang, pow, zing, and all of those things, and victory will come in our lives. So I see tonight that it was an applied jawbone. Then thirdly, I see it was a jawbone of rejoicing. A jawbone of rejoicing, verse 16. And Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heap upon heaps, and with the jawbone of an ass, have I slain 1,000 men. Samson was now rejoicing in the instrument that God had given him. He even sings this song about it. I say tonight, like Samson, a person who comes to Christ can rejoice in what they've received. Samson said, heaps upon heaps. This was no small victory in the life of Samson. This was a great victory that God had used a foolish weapon to achieve such a victory. I say tonight, salvation for the sinner is no small victory. It cost the very Son of God His life. It cost Him His life. It cost Him pain and suffering and agony like no one had ever, ever experienced. Those of us tonight that are saved have had great salvation come our way. Those of us that are saved and has had great salvation come our way, consider tonight what we have been forgiven from. I don't know about you. I was a good kid for the most part. Don't say nothing, Steph. Growing up. But I think about in my life the sins that I committed prior to salvation that were placed on Christ that have been forgiven. That is cause for rejoicing tonight. Hey, let me tell you this tonight. I'm not the super Christian tonight. I don't have on a white robe. There are mistakes that I've made since being saved. Things that I've done. Things that I've said. Things that I've thought about. But guess what? I can go to God and have those sins forgiven. And they were taken care of again on the cross. And you think about all I've done since salvation and how God has forgiven me. There is reason for great rejoicing tonight when salvation comes our way. I think about tonight, if you were to read over in Daniel chapter 4. Verses 36 and 37. There's a man by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar, I believe you read that chapter, chapter 4, that is his testimony, his salvation testimony, where Nebuchadnezzar believed on the Lord God of heaven and he trusted him. I think about how Nebuchadnezzar would say this. He would praise and extol and honor the King of heaven. That word extol means to magnify, to praise. Nebuchadnezzar was rejoicing over what God had done in his life. God had taken him from being a wild beast in the field, and God had given him his kingdom back and salvation and so much more. I think about a man by the name of the Ethiopian eunuch. I don't know what this man's name is. One day, hopefully in heaven, I'll meet him. We'll see. But this man in Acts 8:39, he trusts Christ as Savior. And in verse 39, the Bible says this, and he went on his way rejoicing. There was a road of rejoicing. You see, he had come out of Jerusalem and he had gone there to worship. But even though he had gone there to worship, he had left empty. There was nothing there. But when he met Christ there on I-85 South, headed into Egypt, there was rejoicing found in his life. I think about also tonight, like Samson, rejoicing in the jawbone tonight. The believer must not fail to continue to rejoice over the jawbones in our lives. You think about salvation, that's just the first victory that God gives us as believers. There's victories that continue to come in our lives and things that God continues to do in our lives. I say tonight that everything that God has done for us through trial, through tribulation, through trouble, through sorrow, all of those things, we can be found to rejoice in the Lord. I remember a few months ago back in the summertime, and you may have been here, but I remember one Sunday morning the Lord put it upon my heart to praise Him for a dumpster. You say, a dumpster? What are you talking about? I'd accidentally locked my keys and my cell phone in a running vehicle, and I was running late for where I was supposed to be, and I was in the middle of nowhere. I didn't know how I was going to get in that car. There was a dumpster that had a piece of wire in it that helped me break into my own vehicle. You see, that was just another jawbone, another provision, another answer to prayer when I said, Lord, help me get in this vehicle. And there it was. You see, there's so many things that God brings into our lives that so many jawbones, so many things that help us achieve victory that we ought to be rejoicing. I cannot help it, but in my mind to imagine Samson standing on top of these 1,000 defeated carcasses, holding this jawbone high in the air as he sung the victory that God had given him. I say tonight, when's the last time you stood on the top of your defeated foes? When's the last time you stood on the top of the carcasses in your life and the things that you fought with in your life and you say, God has given me victory in my life? I think about the year that we've been through and the difficulties of this year. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, I know it's been hard. I know it's been difficult. But I say tonight, I hopefully here at the end of the year, you can stand on top of your mountain of carcasses with the jawbone of the Lord. Stand up and say, I'm thankful for what God has done this year. I'm thankful for the victories He's granted me. I'm thankful for the enemies He's allowed me to defeat. So tonight, as we close the thought on this jawbone, I simply ask two questions. Number one, if you're here tonight in my presence, maybe by the way of Facebook, maybe some other means tonight, do you see the value of salvation? Do you see the value of salvation tonight? Salvation has been offered to all, but you have to receive it. You have to receive it tonight. I think about God has done everything that He can possibly do to keep a man, to keep a woman, to keep a child from going to hell. He's done everything He possibly can do to provide an opportunity to have our sins forgiven, to us to be set at liberty. But the question is, will you as an individual reach forth and receive it? And by faith, trust Christ and ask Him to forgive you of your sin and come into your heart. And then tonight, believers, have we taken that jawbone for granted? Why not tonight we take the jawbone and we trust Christ to defeat our foes? And why not tonight in the coming year? Why don't we look to stand upon the heaps of our enemies and say, God has granted me a victory. God has provided a way of winning the battle. The Bible says in Judges chapter number 15 and verse 15. And he found a new jawbone of an ass. And he put forth his hand and took it. And he slew 1,000 men therewith. Father, thank you for the evening. Thank you for the liberty in preaching thy word tonight. Father, I've done my best to be obedient to the thoughts that you've given me. Lord, I know my attempts are frail and weak. But God, I pray the Spirit of God would somehow translate. Lord, that it might speak to hearts. Lord, I pray tonight if one be lost, tonight would be the night that they would receive that salvation. And then tonight I pray for those of us that are believers. And may we look for victory, Lord, tonight. And the fact that you've provided ways and avenues and things for us to be able to be overcomers. Thank you, Lord, for tonight. I pray you'd bless us as we part ways. I pray you'd bless the upcoming Sunday service. Be with these many that are sick tonight. I pray you continue to help our pastor and his family. Give us traveling mercies as we go down the road. Thank you now for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, thank y'all so much for coming tonight. Thank you for joining us by the way of Facebook. And y'all are at liberty to go this evening.